Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1 with It's for Women. The car insurance you can sort online anytime.
Well, the vicious murder of Nadine Lott and the abduction, rape and murder of Sarah Everard has refocused attention on violence against women of late. My next guest's father, Lance Hart, shot dead his wife Claire and his daughter Charlotte before turning the gun on himself and taking his own life in 2016. His sons Luke and Ryan Hart now work to create a deeper understanding of domestic abuse and coercive control. And together they founded Coercion and Control Awareness in the UK to educate others in memory of their mother, Claire, and their sister, Charlotte. And Luke Hart joins me. Luke, good morning to you, and thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us.
No worries. Thank you for having me, Miriam.
Listen, Luke, for anyone who isn't familiar with your story, can you tell me about your father, Lance, and how controlling he was in your lives?
Yeah, sure. So it's worth saying at the start that even though our father murdered our mother and sister and he was that man, we never actually recognized what we were living with as domestic abuse. So our father was incredibly controlling. But unfortunately, even as victims, we hadn't recognized that control was a form of domestic abuse. We naively thought domestic abuse was just violence. So growing up, our father, he used all the classic techniques. So he met our mother, he flattered her, and he had me with our mother very early into the relationship. And that very quickly created a hook and an anchor that mum couldn't escape from him. He then moved our mum to the countryside in the middle of nowhere, where we grew up basically living off the land. Our parents didn't work, and we were there for a decade, basically. And during that time, he obviously was able to have enormous influence over our mother and our lives and to basically control much of what we did. And then there was the next phase of our life, I suppose, where we moved to a village when I was going to secondary school and Ryan and Charlotte were nearly, well, Ryan was nearly at secondary school age and Charlotte was at primary school age. And then our life became quite different because suddenly we weren't isolated geographically. So we had people on our doorstep, I suppose, and our father's behavior became much more visibly controlling. He wouldn't let us leave the house. He wouldn't let our mum go to work by herself. He had to drive her. He monitored, you know, every action in our home, down to the point where we couldn't touch the light switches, we couldn't touch the heating. He controlled exactly, you know, what we did, when we did it, what we were allowed to do. But to us at the time, you know, that was all we'd ever really known, and he didn't seem to be dangerous. But we'd always wanted to get away from him because he wasn't a pleasant man and he made our lives incredibly difficult. So we worked as hard as we could. Mum always encouraged us to work hard at school so we could have freedom away from our father one day. And Ryan and I, being the eldest, we went to university, we graduated, saved up money. And in 2016, we managed to get enough money to get Mum and Charlotte away from him, to give him a home. And we managed to get them a rental place they could move into. Thought we'd succeeded, and it was only 6 days after we'd got them out that he had then ambushed them on their way swimming one day with a shotgun, and he shot Charlotte, and then he shot our mum, and then he killed himself.
When did you and your brother realise that had happened, Luke?
So we worked abroad, and it was only, well, so what happened was Ryan saw on the news that morning that there'd been a shooting in Spalding. And his gut instinctively told him something wasn't right. So he called me in a panic because he wasn't able to get hold of Mum and Charlotte because he'd been ringing to check that they were okay. I picked up the call from Ryan, and he was really upset. He was crying. He was distraught. And I was just trying to be rational and trying to sort of go through the options and figure out, you know, how can we just, you know, clear this? Because I had a gut feeling as well that this was bad, but my mind was telling me there's just a mistake here. We just need to like clarify what's going on. So I told him to call the police, to give our details, to say we're looking for Mum and Charlotte. And as soon as they find out they're okay, if they could let us know. And we both called the police, and then we waited for about half an hour. And then eventually we both got calls, and they were the calls that told us that Mum and Charlotte had been killed. And then the rest of it was a blur, basically. Then we had to fly back. And yeah, the next week or so was just, I mean, we can't remember any of it, basically, because it was so traumatic, unfortunately.
I'm so sorry. And the press coverage of the attack that followed, Luke, you were both shocked by what you read. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Ryan and I responded quite differently to that. So the family liaison officers told us, do not watch TV, do not read the media, because some of the stuff that's being said, it will make you so unbearably angry. And I just thought, I felt like a man on the edge myself. I just couldn't bear to be tipped over anymore. Like I'd had enough. So I just shut myself away. Ryan, however, did look at the media, and he was coming across stuff that just made him so blindingly angry. So there was a lot of a lot of people in the community who were saying things like, well, initially they were just passing it off as, you know, this is probably immigrants. And then, you know, when it came out what had happened, there was lots of people just excusing our father. You know, they were coming up with excuses. They were saying, oh, it must have been mental health, or it must have been this, it must have been that, or poor him. People called him a nice guy. They suggested he was always caring, which is a kind of absurd thing to say after he's murdered his family. And generally, people were excusing him for what he did and feeling sorry for him. And in one newspaper article, a national newspaper article, it essentially said it was understandable what he did. And there was everywhere we read, there was this kind of speculation, you know, that there must have been something, you know, and everyone gave him the benefit of the doubt. And to us, that showed just how dangerous these narratives are, because the police investigation uncovered that our father had written a murder note that he left behind at the scene. And the justifications he used for murdering his family in that were copied from other media reports that he'd been researching running up to the murders. And that made it very clear to us that our father's kind of the ideology behind what he did was borrowed from the media. And the fact that he was using the excuses that the media had put out for these previous killers just showed how dangerous it is to excuse these men. And that made Ryan and I realize that we had to speak up, because it seemed that there's a reluctance to, I suppose, in these sort of conversations.
And interestingly, you say your dad, you know, he was an ordinary man. He had no mental illness. He was like many other ordinary men who kill their families.
Yeah. And I think, so we were as naive as anyone. And when the murders happened, we couldn't make sense of where they'd come from. Because as I said, we thought domestic abuse is violence. And we'd always, you know, he hadn't been violent, but he'd been excessively controlling. And we always thought if someone's going to kill, they'll have a history of violence. They'll be mildly violent. They'll increase the frequency and the severity of the violence, and eventually murder will happen. We didn't think that murders as such came out of nowhere. But what we learned actually was when we were sat in the police station that there was something called coercive control. And it had been a crime for 6 months in the UK. And when Ryan and I were in the police station just days after the murders, we looked up, we saw a poster. And, well, there's many posters actually. It was almost surreal to be in the police station and see coercive control plastered on all the walls. And it explained that, you know, a pattern of controlling behavior, you know, the rigid enforcement of arbitrary rules and all these kind of behaviors were a crime. And actually, they were a pattern of behaviors that often can lead to homicides. In fact, coercive control is a better predictor of homicide than violence alone. And that made us realize that the murders hadn't come out of nowhere. In fact, the murders were the ultimate act of control. And actually, that's often how these men behave. And I guess the thing that's really scary about people like our father is that he wouldn't hit us, but he would kill us. And people have to really think about that to understand what it means. He knew that if he hit us, his game would be up. It'd be very clear to us that he was an abuser, and we'd be able to show everyone else that he was an abuser. So he was playing the long game. He was being kind of rational and, I don't know if it's the right word, but intelligent about it. He knew what he wanted, and he was very careful to make sure he didn't blow it. And I think men like our father, we often excuse them. You know, on childhood trauma, we go, oh, you know, he must have had a hard childhood. Many people said that to us. But he didn't have a hard childhood at all. He had a much better childhood than we did. Men like our father don't kill because of trauma. They kill because of their beliefs. And it was our father's beliefs that he was entitled to have all of the control, all of the authority in our family, that meant he felt justified to kill Mum and Charlotte and Ryan and I, although he couldn't get hold of us. But that's what really struck us from reading his murder note, was that this wasn't a note of someone who'd lost emotional control of themselves. It was written coldly and calculatedly, and it moralized killing us. It justified it. because we'd been insubordinate. And that was the most painful thing we possibly could have done. And therefore, killing all of us wouldn't be enough to equalize the pain that we had caused. And that's how these men think. They're not emotionally out of control. They're not traumatized from their childhoods. They rationalize killing because they believe they're entitled to do it. And that's what's terrifying about these men. And I think that, unfortunately, many people don't recognize the psychology behind it. And that's partly why Ryan and I talk about our story so much, so that others hopefully can identify the warning signs before it's too late.
Finally, Luke, you know, together, you and your brother Ryan, you founded Coercion and Control Awareness in the UK. It's to, you know, in a sense, so people can remember your mother, Claire, and her sister, Charlotte. And you said before, vulnerable women and children are not treated as heroes for standing up to their oppressors. Even when they're murdered, they should be given a national day of mourning. You really believe that, Luke, don't you?
Absolutely. I think it, the way that we sort of, you know, I mean, as I mentioned, the way that we treat men's emotions more important than women's lives, right? When these women are murdered, as in our case, it was actually reported as our father's suicide, not the murders of Mum and Charlotte. Like I said, I kept referring to our father's murder note. The media called it a suicide note. It gives preference to his perspective. It gives preference to his needs, to his emotions. And these women's lives are just thrown under the bus. And I think Ryan and I, we just wanted to be the voice for Mum and Charlotte because they never had one. And we recognized that those women and children who live under coerced control are silenced everywhere and for their entire lives. And whether Mum and Charlotte had survived or not, our father stole our lives from us every day for decades. And it's really important that we can help other people understand and speak up for those people who don't have a voice. And unfortunately, in some cases, they lose their lives too.
Well, Luke, you're incredibly impressive. Well done to you and your brother, Ryan, and your mum and sister would be so proud of you. Thank you so much for talking to us today.